Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
You know, Joe Flacco is going to be introduced to Broncos country tomorrow. And we plan on being there live and actually broadcasting our show from Dove Valley, much like we did with the Vic Fangio introductory press conference, with anchor coverage back in the studio with Pritchard and Cecil.
So we got Flacco, and is Kareem Jackson and Juwan James going to be there tomorrow?
I think so.
Also, all three of them?
I think so. I think it may even be two different pressers. I don't know if it's going to be all together. We're still sort of figuring that out.
We'll be there, though.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. Doing something.
What do you want to hear or see from Flacco? Anything in particular?
I want to see excitement. And I know Joe played with him for a year. He's not going to get up there and just be like, rah, rah, Brock Osweiler. But I just want to get that feel when I walk away that he's excited about this move and he still has that love and passion for football. That's what I want to walk away with from Joe. Because, you know, he didn't pick the Denver Broncos. He wasn't a free agent. Let's not forget that. He got traded here.
He did.
So how much did he have to say about where he was going? I don't think he had a whole lot. I don't know how many people were beating down the Ravens' door for Joe Flacco. I'm not sure. Was it four teams? Was it two teams? Were the Broncos the only team? I mean, I've heard different reports that the Broncos were bidding against themselves. Don't know if there was other teams involved or not at that price. I thought they got a good deal for a fourth-round pick. So he got traded here. I want to get that feeling when I walk away that, oh, Joe wants to be here.
Right.
That's what I want to walk away with. How about you?
You know, the more you talk like that, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I want to hear that too. Going into this conversation, what I wanted to hear is just a little bit of an edge. A little bit of a chip. You're right. He's not going to go up there and say, hey, I got something to prove to the Ravens or anything like that. But I want to hear just a hint of how pissed off and how much to prove this guy has. I've said this to you many, many times. I like betting on pro athletes when their professional life has been backed into a corner. And he's not the only one on this roster that's like that. Emmanuel Sanders is in that same category of people are doubting you. You didn't get the extension you wanted. You got something to prove. Now go prove it. Joe Flacco had his job taken away by a quarterback who can't throw. If that's not going to piss you off, nothing will. And I just want to see just a hint of a fight or flight mentality from him. Because his pro career is being threatened. This is his last opportunity, I believe, to be a starting quarterback for an NFL franchise.
Sure. You know, if he still wants to, if he has that desire and passion to keep playing, I mean, he could be the guy. How old is Joe Flacco?
34.
I mean, he could be the guy here for the next 5 years, certainly the next 3 years throughout the course of his contract.
That's a good question for tomorrow. Joe, how much longer do you want to play this game?
There you go. So, you know, if you still have that desire to keep playing, and I think change of scenery is good for most guys. I think it ends up being a good thing because it does light that fire under you, especially when you've been in a place as long as Joe's been in Baltimore. So I think it's a good thing sometimes to move teams, especially later on in your career. But certainly there's still a lot of football that he could play. And he could, look, I think John would love to have that guy here for the next 3 years at 18, 20, and 24, whatever his salary numbers are at those prices.
Sure.
To where he doesn't have to really be forced to draft a quarterback in the first or second round. I mean, they would love that. And if Joe's looking at the situation, it's a great opportunity. So if there's a really good opportunity, it's with the Denver Broncos. It's right now. John wants it to work out more than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And if Joe wants to continue to play, it's right here. I mean, it's a perfect situation for him.
And it could be. And I know D-Mac in the afternoon has talked a lot about this. Joe Flacco could be the perfect exit strategy for John. that if you can get back in the playoffs and sort of reclimate this thing a little bit, it's back on track, you're back being competitive, you're back in the playoffs, it ain't walking out on top like he did as a player, but at the same time, I think he'll feel a hell of a lot more comfortable walking away knowing that, hey, I brought in a quarterback here, I stabilized this thing. I brought in a head coach, I stabilized this thing. And I have comfort walking away and knowing that.
1,000%. You look at where the Broncos are now, and obviously it's win now mode. They're not trying to rebuild this thing for 3 years from now. So they're trying to get this thing back going and back winning football games. But along the way, if you can find that quarterback on your way out, like Ozzie Newsome did with Lamar Jackson, here you go, boom. We're doing things nicely, got back in the playoffs. I mean, that's a perfect way to kind of exit.
Right.
You don't want to exit after these last 2 years. So when would that be for John? Who knows? I mean, 3 years left on his contract?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But obviously, the Joe Flacco having 3 years left on his contract would make perfect sense. And along the way, you could take your time, and if that quarterback falls to you that you like, then you could take him. But you're not pressured and you're not forced to take a quarterback, which they pretty much were when they took Paxton Lynch. I mean, they were in a bad spot.
Sure.
And Joe Flacco provides them more luxury, more leeway when it comes to selecting their next quarterback.
I want to bounce these numbers off you quickly. When we talk about how much does Joe have left in the tank, you look at the 9 games he played last year. 9 games is a good sample size, more than half of an NFL season. A year ago, did you realize that Flacco through 9 games had a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio for the first time since that 2014 season that we looked to under the Kubiak offense? 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. It's pretty good. Did you realize that Flacco through 9 games just last year was on pace to throw 21 touchdowns, which would have been his highest total since 2014. Not a monster number, but a good number. Do you realize that his QBR last year was the highest it had been since 2014? Did you realize that Joe Flacco was on pace through 9 games to throw just 10 interceptions, which would have been the lowest total of his career? Did you realize that Flacco through 9 games was on pace to throw nearly 4,400 yards, Stoke? That would have been the highest total of his career. I'm not telling you Joe Flacco's top 10 quarterback, but if he plays the brand of football that he played through 9 games last year, just last year, not 2014, not half a decade ago, just last season, I think the Broncos are going to win more football games than they've won in 3 years.
I think so, too. I think so, too. That, I mean, that's the type of player that they want. They're not expecting Joe Flacco to come in here and be throwing the football all over the field and you know, scoring 40-something points a game. But they want a guy that's been there and done that and has been a starter and that they know late in games, you know, will hit DT on the sideline against the Chiefs. Won't overthrow him. Be that fourth quarter quarterback. That's what they are expecting from Joe Flacco. Make those key throws. Not only in the fourth quarter, but in the first quarter, in the second quarter. Make the right decisions with the football. Make the key throws. And if he does that and is that type of quarterback, Broncos will win football games. More football games than they won the last couple years for sure.
Our buddy James Palmer from the NFL Network was driving down the road. He was heading to Chipotle. And he was listening to the show.
What do you think James gets at Chipotle?
Chicken burrito. No, actually with James, I bet he gets the salad with the chicken on top.
Mm. Salad. Like
carb-free.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep up appearances. James, a handsome dude. Gluten-free. No sour cream, please. Put in the avocado superfood, please.
Oh. Wow.
But he's listening to this show because he knows what's good for him.
Uh-huh.
And he chimed in. He started texting. And then he hopped on with us. And he said something that everybody needs to hear. You'll hear it next. So our buddy from the NFL Network, James Palmer, who has been a big supporter of this show, loves listening to us, lets us know that he listens to us, chimes in, texts in.
I think he said something like, we're our favorite. His favorite show.
He did.
In the whole country.
He actually did say that.
Of course he did.
Which was kind of cool to hear. We love James. And we were talking about Mike Munchak. And, you know, the question that I ask is, are we overstating the Mike Munchak effect? Like, are we just with broad strokes saying, yeah, everything's going to be fine because Mike Munchak's here?
Right.
And we started talking about Garrett Bowles a little bit. And
we are doing a little bit of that, though, right?
I mean, a little bit.
Like, high expectations. Mike Munchak's just going to fix everything.
Right. And he's got a lot on his plate. They're hoping Mike Munchak, new offensive line coach here with the Broncos, can validate Garrett Bowles as the number one pick at the same time as validating the highest salary for a right tackle in all of football.
I mean, what is that worth? You know, what is that worth for the Denver Broncos if he's able to do that?
What is that worth?
You know, if you look at a guy like Mike Munchak, I mean,
in terms of finances?
Yeah, just everything. The value that he could bring to himself and just his position. Like you said, I mean, Garrett Bowles, I mean, they really need Garrett Bowles to work out. And certainly they need Juwan James to work out. And they need Bowles to be a lot better than what he's been. And then you got three pieces in the middle where we just don't know what's going on there. I mean, you got to get this offensive line fixed. I mean, Mike Munchak's value to the Denver Broncos right now is
sky high.
Yeah, at a whole nother level.
It's hard to even put a price tag on it because we've been talking about a group that has struggled for years. If he can have this group, these nasties up front that can, if they rise from the ashes like a phoenix, the value of Mike Munchak. It's like the old American Express commercial, priceless. I mean, there is no dollar amount.
Yep.
It should be priceless. He'd be a legend's legend. He deserves a statue, you know, outside of Mile High. If he can get Garrett Bowles to a Pro Bowl.
What's that worth? A statue?
Statue.
Okay.
Statue. With the gold jacket, directing Bowles. So there's like a secondary statue next to him.
A little baby statue.
He's like fixing his foot. Like having to point in a new direction.
Putting his hands by his side.
Right.
Keep him down.
Or just like waving a finger saying, don't pancake.
Would you get a tattoo like a M.M. heart GB, G.B, if Munchak was able to get Bowles to the Pro Bowl? I mean,
if he gets Bowles to the Pro Bowl, yes, this year.
Right, this year. Record this, please.
Mm.
Keep going. Don't slow down. Don't think about it. Just let it out.
Mike Munchak.
Just let it out.
Garrett Bowles to the Pro Bowl.
And you can put it anywhere you want. I mean, you're tatted up already.
How about I get a... I'm just trying to think of what my wife would think.
Don't worry about it. She's not at
school right now. She got to cancel. She may be listening like, please no. I will get...
I mean, what are the odds? It's not going to happen. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. You don't have to worry about it.
You're such a troublemaker. Let's revisit this conversation after I've had time to think about it. But
I just gave you the answer. Just do it. M.M. heart G.B. Just real small.
Where?
Wherever you want.
Okay.
It's done. There we go. Okay, why don't you say it, though, just to solidify it for us. You want me to give you the words to say? If Garrett Bowles goes to the Pro Bowl, I will put M.M.
M.M.
Heart. G.B.
G.B.
On my body.
On my body.
I will get it tattooed on my body.
James Palmer chimed in earlier.
Finish it. You're looking for the owl.
Looking for like the henna tattoo approach. Looking for like the henna. James Palmer chimed in. You pull me down these rabbit holes. James Palmer chimed in, and what he said, it like as it was coming out of his mouth, I knew what he was about to say, and he actually said it. Check this out.
What I had heard at the combine from around the league was they're going to lose Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh. They're going to lose Le'Veon Bell. A couple guys said this to me. Mark my word, when the season's over in 2019, the Steelers are going to privately be saying the biggest loss we had this offseason was Mike Munchak.
Wow.
That's how valuable they thought he was to the offense and to what he did in the run game, how it got together, what he did with the offensive line group. That was thrown around at the combine that he might be their biggest loss in the offseason.
Think about that. You lose a Hall of Fame running back, a Hall of Fame receiver, and the biggest loss, he said he heard from multiple people that he respects.
Yeah.
Biggest loss might be the Hall of Fame coach.
I mean, that just shows you what people around the NFL, how they view Mike Munchak and what he's done with the Pittsburgh Steelers and their offensive line. Hopefully that has carryover to the Denver Broncos and this offensive line, because certainly we need it. It was, I think, a good first step getting the right tackle, athletic guy in Juwan James. And the rest is, look, a work in progress here. But we're going to need his coaching to be a big part of this.
Maybe the biggest part. There's a lot of responsibility that's going to be divvied out here over the course of the next year. We got a new offensive coordinator, Rich Gangarello. He's got to figure that side of the football out, need it. Vic Fangio, he's going to be calling plays as a head coach, and we need stability there. But the issue of the offensive line, so much of the success for Rich Gangarello, for Joe Flacco, for Cortland Sutton, for Emmanuel Sanders, for Philip Lindsay is predicated on the boys up front. Mike Munchak, he's got his work cut out for him. You see how he can handle it. It's that time of day. Stokely stoked up. We're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Look, Zach, I'm fired about the press conference tomorrow. We're going to hear from the three newest Broncos, Kareem Jackson, Juwan James, and Joe Flacco. I'm really looking forward to hearing what Flacco has to say. We have to remember, Zach, that Joe didn't pick the Broncos. He got traded here. I want to hear some excitement about playing here and that he's really excited about this opportunity. I think it's a great opportunity for both Joe and John. Joe can play the last 3 years of his contract, and John doesn't have to worry about drafting a QB high in any of the next few drafts. It could be a win-win. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about!
That was a pretty good one.
Thank you.
That was a pretty good one. You'd never get more proud of yourself than after you finish a good stoked up.
Yeah, just when it flows good. So sometimes I stutter too much or I screw something up, you know, and I get it. It's not, it doesn't flow off the tongue very well sometimes. Okay. But when it does, you know, then I get fired up that it flowed well, right?
That was a Pro Bowl stoked up.
Oh, thank you. Whew,
not an all-pro stoked
right,
up.
Right, Pro Bowl.
But a Pro Bowl
stoked
up.
I'll take a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll take a Pro Bowl. That's good enough for me.
This is John Elway on why it was important to make the Flacco trade.
Well, we had an opportunity there, and Joe's had a great career so far, and we thought that with what we're going to do now offensively that he'd be a very good fit for us, and so we're excited about the opportunity to be able to get Joe here, and so we thought the compensation was good, and so we're excited about watching Joe and having him come here.
I also heard him say to James Palmer in a one-on-one interview that he believes Joe Flacco has a lot of football left in him. You referenced his age earlier, is 34. These guys are playing well into their late 30s. If this goes well, like I think John is thinking less about the future quarterback. Like I think he thinks that this is going to go well, and this is the plan right now. This is the plan. This is the plan A. Remember the old quote? There's no plan B. Plan A. I like plan A. Like this is plan A. For the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I really do believe that John's really hoping that Joe's here for the next 3 years. But also the contract gives you an out if he doesn't play well this year to move on from it.
Right.
If you want to, unless there's something happens to that contract.
What could ever happen to that contract?
A lot.
You really irritate people when you go down this path.
I really don't care. I don't.
I know you don't.
Right. I don't care if I irritate. Well, why are you bringing this to the Broncos' attention? Why are you
saying that?
Like, trust me. Okay. These people realize it. It's not me. Okay.
Stokely opened the can of beans and screwed the Broncos.
Yeah. I screwed the Broncos by bringing it up. Yeah. I'm sure. I mean, look, that's a smart business move by Joe. If he wanted to, very smart move. But right now, the Broncos and Joe and the contract situation is very flexible for the Broncos. So it's a team-friendly deal. He doesn't play well year one. You move away from him, you move on from him like you just did Case Keenum. And that's it. Clean. Clean break. Easy. So it's a big win for the Broncos. It's not a big win for Joe Flacco. Certainly his contract situation, the way it's structured. Now, if he plays well, everything will be fine. He'll come back the following year and make the, you know, the $20 million that he's supposed to make. But right now, it's a good contract situation for the Broncos, and it gives Bison some time. We might see them draft a quarterback early in this draft and kind of hope that guy will take over for Flacco at some point if he's ready. If he's not, Flacco plays well. Contract is very reasonable for a quarterback, and when you look at it versus the cap and what it would cost them, very reasonable.
We're also going to hear from tomorrow, Juwan James and Kareem Jackson. How about this? Elway was asked what kind of tackler Kareem Jackson is.
Oh, we had to ask Philip if he how he tackled when we played Houston this last offseason. So yeah, that was welcome to the NFL, and Kareem welcomed Philip to the NFL there.
You're so stupid.
Okay, I'm about tired of hearing about Kareem Jackson's tackle on Phillip Lindsay. I'm already tired.
You're done, huh?
I'm done, man. Wow. Obviously, look, loves the tackle. Great. I want to see the guy cover. Okay, let's talk about his cover skills. I mean, if the first thing you talk about Kareem Jackson, you talk about him tackling, that's not what you want to talk about. I mean, if that's your linebacker, yes. Your cornerback? No. Let's talk about how he just locks fools down. Let's talk about that. That's what I want to hear about. And then if you want to say he's a good tackler, great. But we all remember the tackle on Phillip Lindsay. All right, great hit. He played a great game against the Denver Broncos. I mean, he was coming up, making plays, covering guys. I mean, he played a great, great game. So
he's a great football player, man.
Yeah, all around, versatile guy. You can play him at safety, play him at corner. I mean, that's huge. I mean, when you're – week in and week out trying to figure out these offenses and how to stop certain guys. Like, who's going to cover Travis Kelce? Oh, let's put Kareem Jackson on him. Chris Harris, you got Tyreek Hill. You know, you need a guy that it can play safety, can play in the box, can play outside. When you have that and you have that versatility, it's going to make your defense that much better. And you look at a guy like Chris Harris, same thing. You play inside, you play outside. That's what you want. And you got two guys that could do it. So, obviously, Kareem Jackson, a good football player, and a really, really good addition for the Broncos. Like Bradley Roby, he's just an outside cornerback.
Right.
Kareem, you can move all over the place. So, his versatility made him a better fit here for us.
Sure. And hopefully that pays off. Because football, much like basketball, is becoming more positionless. Isn't it? Just like across the board. It's becoming less defined by position.
Yeah.
Just across the board. So
just be a good football player.
Be a good football player.
And the more you can do, obviously, because you got guys all over the place. You know, you got these tight ends playing outside.
Right.
You got these tight ends playing in the slot. You got these, you know, standing up. You got these slot receivers playing outside, playing inside. You got guys going in the backfield. You got all these jet sweeps and all these things these teams are doing to try to confuse you. So the better, obviously, look, the versatility of these guys is huge in today's NFL, more so than ever.
A question that we've had a lot around here is about the front office and the coaching staff working together.
And we got a good RamosLaw.com text. Sorry, Zach.
Fire away.
I'll let you get your thoughts together there. Champ Bailey was a great tackler. You're darn right he was. He was a really good football player. Right? Champ would come up and tackle you. He was a competitor. You know, that's when you hear good tackler, I mean, that's want to for a cornerback. You know, and if you have that want to, that's really all I really need to see from you. Have that want to. And yes, Champ Bailey was a great tackler.
The connection between the coaching staff and the front office is something that we've had a lot of questions about because they've seemed awfully disconnected in the past. This is John Elway on that topic.
Well, I mean, that's important. I mean, we have to work together. The personnel and coaching have to work together because ultimately, you know, they got to like who they're coaching and the people they have in the field. So it's important for us to all be a cohesive group there. And I think, so far since Vic's been here, it's been tremendous.
That is along the tones that I want to hear. Now, whether that's happening step in step, meticulously, you know, I've already had my doubts with this group. You were gone when I was accused of being, you know, too dramatic or whatever. But first of all, I like hearing that from John. Now that that's out of the way, the Brandon Langley thing.
Yeah, I knew you were going there. Yeah, that's what I was about to bring that up. Like, oh.
With like Vic not knowing that I never got your take on that. And for those who don't know, let me reset it in 10 seconds. Vic was asked about Brandon Langley's positional change at the NFL Combine. He said that's news to me. We found out last week from Mike Kliss that the positional change was decided by John and Brandon Langley together at their exit meeting months ago. And how a new coach would come in and diagnose the roster and meticulously go through with how detail-oriented a guy like Vic Fangio is, how that would get just lost in the shuffle is beyond confusing to me. Tell me what you think.
It is a little bit, but that just shows you Brendan Langley's status on this football team and where they have him and how much thought they put in him to make any kind of impact this next year. It is a little odd that when you're talking about the roster and say, oh, hey, this guy, yeah, we did talk about it. He's switching from offense to defense. So I'm not going to
make like a minor detail. Right. It's a third-round draft pick.
Right. I'm not making a big deal about it, but it is a little bit odd that that was not discussed. That's just like a little attention to detail that you would discuss with your head football coach. So yeah. You're not blowing it out of proportion if you think it's a huge deal, but I just think it's one of those things where it's just they didn't have big plans for Brendan Langley either way, and John probably doesn't think he'll make it as a wide receiver to begin with, like most people,
right?
So it probably wasn't a discussion didn't need to be had, but it should because he is on your roster. And there needs to be a plan for him, and the head coach needs to know.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like the actual information and player himself is less important to me than not communicating about your roster.
Right.
You know, I know Brandon Langley, there were no big plans for Brandon Langley. He was going to get cut regardless, whether he switched positions or not, more than likely, or be a practice squad guy or whatever. But it's just about the detail that it takes to be in that position of a front office. I just think sometimes it's lacking with John. That's all. I think it's lacking.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, you would think that him and Vic would sit down after the hiring, right? You would sit down and you would go over the roster one by one.
Of course.
Plans, what this guy, strengths, weaknesses. John, just give me your thoughts, John, your overall thoughts. I haven't watched these guys a lot. I'm about to really dig into them. Can't wait to. I want to have your thoughts on these guys and what they do good and their weaknesses. And then I'm going to go get on film and watch them, and I'm going to break them down, and I'll get my reports, and then we'll meet back again, and we'll talk about it again. Brendan Langley would have been one of those guys.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's
even
the first
something
thing.
In passing, like, he's not in our plans. He thinks he's going to switch positions. He's going to be cut. He's not in our plans.
Right.
Well, moving on, next guy.
Right.
You know, whatever. Whatever. Did you ever think about switching the corner after a couple of years?
Almost had to. I was almost out on the street. So, I would have gone to corner. Not many white cornerbacks out there.
No.
I think Jason made the last one extinct.
Yeah. You're so funny. And you're talking about Jason Sehorn, right?
Yeah.
And it was the Super Bowl back with the Ravens Giants. Well,
get on my back. Let me carry you in this end zone.
You are so silly.
No. That never crossed my mind. I can't backpedal.
Neither can he. He said so. He says, I hate moving backwards. I'm like, we'd have liked to know that before we drafted in the third round.
Oh, we drafted that guy in the third round. Oh, my goodness. But look, Zach, I'm going to take the different approach here. We got it all figured out now. We had some rough patches in the draft.
Sure.
But we got it figured out.
Yeah, it's a new day.
New year.
It's a new day. How about this Golden Tate going to the New York Giants?
Oh, man, them Giants. Holy cow. That's a good pickup, though. Golden Tate's a good football player. He's tough. he's a good football player. So that's a good pickup for them.
4 years, $37.5 million. That includes $23 million fully guaranteed. That's from Schefter.
Good. Happy for him. I like Golden Tate. I was with him his rookie year.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, in Seattle. I like him. He's a good football player. You know, but another guy that needed time. You know, his rookie year, he didn't do anything for us. But he just had an adjustment period from the college game to the NFL game. I think he was a second or third round draft pick by the Seahawks. But then he came on, and he's been a really good football player. I mean, he is dynamic when he gets the ball in his hands. He's fun to watch.
No doubt. No doubt about it. I want to shift gears here a little bit. Who is the Broncos' backup quarterback? What's the plan for the backup quarterback?
Yeah, that's...
If we're in win-now mode, we got to think about it.
Kevin Hogan's still on the roster right now?
Yeah.
I really think it's going to shake out like this. I don't know how they feel about Kevin Hogan, first of all. So they might not like him. They might really like him a lot. But I think it's going to be Kevin Hogan as a backup, and I think they'll draft somebody at some point in the draft. I don't think they'll draft somebody in the first two rounds, but I think 3 through 7, they'll draft a guy, and I think they'll keep 3 quarterbacks. Or if the guy's drafted late enough, that guy will be that practice squad quarterback and just keep 2 quarterbacks on the active roster. I think that's how it's going to shake out this year. Don't see them bringing in another veteran presence. But they might if they don't love Kevin Hogan. They got to watch Kevin Hogan a lot last year, so they got to feel one way or another about Kevin Hogan being the backup.
Right. I threw this out earlier, and I'm not being funny. I'm not thrilled with Kevin Hogan as the backup. I don't think that's a solid plan. If Joe Flacco has to miss 3 games this year, and we're 5-3 after 8 weeks, let's just say, right? I'm getting crazy, okay? We're 5-3. Midway point of the season. Joe Flacco twists his ankle. He's got to miss 3 weeks. I don't trust Kevin Hogan to come in here and man the ship and win and go 2-1.
Right.
You know who I do trust to do that?
Who do you trust?
Trevor Siemian.
Trev.
Okay, Trev.
Okay, Trev.
I trust him to come in here and start for 3 games.
Yep, I'm with you.
Has a probationary period passed that, you know, I wanted him after he was, after the year where the quarterback carousel spun twice around and everyone got a turn as starter, backup, and third string. That, even after that season, I said, you know, I still like Trevor in a backup role. I like Case in a backup role, too. But you have been steadfast in saying, look, you just need to move on. You just can't have that dynamic in the locker room, and it's just best to move on. Has that period ended? Would you be receptive to bringing back Trevor Siemian as a backup quarterback?
Yes. The time lapse has happened. It's been long enough. It's a year now. We all know who would be the starter and what Trevor's role would be here. So certainly, I think that would be a good one. If they're not confident in Kevin Hogan, look, if you're trying to win a football game, I mean, we can't forget Trevor was pretty good here for a while. And now he got going down in the wrong direction there, right? And it was ugly. But I look at the situation also, not going to give him excuses because he didn't play well. But that first year, he played pretty well.
He did.
And the second year, he had some decent games in there. But when you're looking at a backup quarterback that has that type of experience, those guys are very valuable. And for Trevor Siemian in a backup role, yeah. Absolutely. A lot more than Kevin Hogan. Have you ever seen Kevin Hogan play in a game? I mean, maybe he played in Cleveland when he got over there for a couple of games.
Just a couple of games. He looked...
nothing like Trevor.
Yeah, nope. And by the way, who would have thought that Trevor... Like a couple days ago, Nikki Jabala put out the list of quarterbacks post-Peyton Manning era. And how many quarterbacks were on that list? It was like 11, something like that. It was a legitimate list. Trevor has started and won the most games here since Peyton Manning walked out the door.
Mm.
And I know that's probably a backhanded compliment unto itself, because Trevor Siemian is really, in the whole scheme of things, NFL quarterback plays, nothing to write home about. So the fact that he has started and won the most games is kind of indirectly an indictment on the quarterback situation here since 18 hung it up. But at the same time, Trevor's competent. Trevor can chew gum and walk. And again, like some folks driving down the road right now will roll their eyes saying, oh, really, we're talking about the backup quarterback? Guys, if you're in win-now mode, it's
an important spot.
It's an important spot that deserves consideration.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a good move. If you're looking for that backup quarterback with experience, those guys are hard to find. And so Trevor knows the locker room, obviously. I could get on board with that. And like you said, look, you could, if something happened to Flacco and you needed a quarterback for a couple weeks, who would be your best, who would be the best fit and your best option? I mean, it's hard to beat Trevor Siemian. I mean, look, you can say whatever you want about him being the starter. That's not what we're saying here. We're saying a competent backup that can man the ship and maybe win you a couple games if you need it. That's Trevor.
That's Trevor.
And I think he would do a nice job in that role.
So I'd be safe to say that you're on Team Trev.
I'm on Team Trev.
You're on Team Trev.
Absolutely. I've always been on Team Trev.
The decision feels like three lifetimes ago, doesn't it?
It does.
It's Team Paxton, Team Trevor. I know that drove some people crazy.
That was fun. That was fun. I mean, it was interesting. It was kind of back and forth for a little bit, and then Trevor separated. What? Yes. Trevor separated. Remember San Francisco? Paxton went down, didn't miss a pass, ball didn't hit the ground in San Francisco. So, I mean, it was a little bit back and forth. Trevor was clearly the better quarterback and separated himself, but Paxton kind of hung around. Then he had that day in San Francisco where that was going to be his week. Remember, that was Paxton's week in that first practice.
That's right.
Ball didn't hit the ground.
It was also a non-contact practice. You know, the real difference came when they put the pads on. From the first day that they put the pads on, Paxton never got the best of Trevor. Now, we weren't out at that day in San Francisco. Right. But like, in the most literal sense, it never once Paxton got the best of Trevor. And Trevor's just okay. I mean, the future of Paxton Lynch is so incredibly interesting to me. So interesting. I'm still fascinated by that guy.
Paxton?
Paxton.
He's in Seattle now.
I know.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see if he can make that roster or not.
You know, I hope
he resurrect
does.
His
I hope
career.
He does. I hope he does.
Oh, of course.
I hope
I'm
he does.
I'm pulling for him. So what's up with this tattoo bet?
What's up with it?
So you said you're going to get a tattoo.
No, you said I was going to get a tattoo.
You agreed.
I agreed that I'd put something on my body.
A tattoo.
I did never said tattoo.
Oh, wait, oh. So you're not going to put a tattoo on your body. You said you'd put a tattoo on your body if Mike Munchak got Garrett Bowles to the Pro Bowl. This year. You try to wiggle out of it by the wording. But you said you would get a tattoo.
I got Crisco on me.
Uh-huh.
It's just for this year, right?
Yeah, just for this year. I'm not going to hold you to it, if, you know.
It's like a career-long bet.
No.
You know what? Sure, screw it. Garrett Bowl, if Garrett, listen to me close.
I will.
Steven? Go ahead.
Bueller.
Hit record. If Garrett Bowles goes to the Pro Bowl, if Mike Munchak gets Garrett Bowles to the Pro Bowl, I will
say it.
The Drive's coming up next.